Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Oh, yes, thank the Most High. We're back again. Yes, indeed, we're back again for another episode. Another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Reveal. And I am your host, Edemia, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, welcoming you again to the show. Thankful again for the very blessed and precious opportunity to be back with you here again. And I thank the Most High, yes, I do, absolutely, for the opportunity to be back with you here again, speak these very, very precious words. Yes, these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me that I have for Him some very important things for Him that I must do. He told me because of what I must do. He said to me that I would surely indeed accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, for his cause, I would have his protection and his guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, I am utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me. Yes, indeed, he has told me. And I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could. False prophets. False rulers. Men, my brothers and sisters, pretentious in their own self-righteousness. He told me I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, he told me I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to eternally destroy. But there's no debate about it, my brothers and sisters, none. No debate whatsoever for those who are true to faith. For those, my brothers and sisters, who would know the truth, that the truth will set them free. Those, my brothers and sisters, who realize what Messiah meant when he said, the spirit of truth, the worldly, will not receive. Those who have proved themselves faithful. Understanding what Messiah meant when he said, I make no request for the worldly. When he said, through the apostle, Jacob, your King James Version wanted to call James. What did he mean? My brothers and sisters, when he said, what do you mean, my brothers and sisters, when he said that let not the double-minded man think he'll receive anything from the Most High? For the double-minded man, he said, is unstable. He said, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He said, if you're scattered amongst a multitude of provocations among the nations. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. He said, if you're scattered amidst a multitude of provocations among the nations, don't even begin to think that you receive anything from the Most High. Don't think, my brothers and sisters, you receive the knowledge of the way of his righteousness. Don't think you receive the way of his inheritance. My brothers and sisters, those who will inherit the kingdom of Yah are those who know that the inheritance of the kingdom of Yah is not after all the diverse standards of this world. Certainly not after an effort to call a multitude of diverse worldly standards wise. The apostle Shaul said it this way. He said, if any man consider himself wise in this world, how about according to the diverse ways of this world? He said, let him consider himself a fool, that he may become wise. Even went as far as to say, in effect, that even he, I'm talking about the apostle Shaul, he said point blank that he is not Lord over his faith, nor anyone else's. But that he should be regarded as a steward, and a steward who is called to be faithful, consistent unto the will of the Most High. And indeed, he said it this way, I don't even judge myself. So he said, let no man then consider himself so wise before the time, when Messiah comes to reveal the hidden things that men have not considered. And then, he said, shall every man know how to praise Yah. The word there for praise. The same thing for honor. And indeed, my brothers and sisters, the name of the Most High must be honored until the fullness of what he has declared. For a man will call upon the name of the Most High, not to seek all the truth. He only, my brothers and sisters, establishes a multitude of self-righteous, unrighteous, even deceitful, foolish, fleshly, false. Look at those letters, FLS, keep coming back. Fleshly, false. How about even flawed, foolish, deceptive standards? Standards which, though they may seem wise unto men, are far from enough, brothers and sisters, for a man to be called true, counted true to the One Most High. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, he said again, for a good reason, in the book of Jacob, he said, if any man consider himself wise after this world, let him consider himself a fool, that he may become wise. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians, 3:18. He said, let not the double-minded man. How about this, my brother? He says, let not the double-minded man, the man who considers himself wise in a multitude of contradictions, think he received anything from the Most High. I would ask the question, should a man think he should be counted before the Most High stable, true, wise, righteous, because he does not discern between divine absolution and the ways of this world? The world must be overcome in the illusions that are in it. I say again that a man who will call upon the name of the Most High must seek the purity of all that is the knowledge of his will. Else he lies. Else he establishes curses, divisions, a multitude of partial standards, contentious in this world. We must understand what those scriptures mean. The Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, is a teacher. Shall a man, my brothers and sisters, retain illusions when the Spirit seeks to correct them and expects still yet to be taught after the hardness of his heart? Shall the Most High, my brothers and sisters, be pleased with a man whom he seeks to correct, but who prefers to retain illusion, prefers to be irrational? Most High told me very early on these words. He said to me, if I could believe in a multitude of contradictions, contentions we see in this world, so if I could believe that they are a work of his Spirit, the result of the counsel of his Spirit as a teacher, he told me straight out, I could not be a disciple unto him. As long as man is not driven for a divine absolute, or if he simply seeks to make all the varied differences we see in this world, the false God, the fallen standard of this world, he seeks to make that multitude of partial and perverse standards somehow, or he dares to say to men that these are, as a collective, a true somehow to the Most High. My brothers and sisters, the Most High says such a one could not be a disciple unto him. A disciple is one who would be taught. The Holy Spirit would teach all things. No lie in it, reproving all sin, declaring an absolute, bringing all things to remembrance. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, who rather than seek for an absolute, are satisfied with flattering men internationally. After all the corruptions of the world, no discretion, no reproof, functioning obviously without question then after an unclean, filthy spirit, and preferring to retain it so. Well, I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, that the Holy Spirit, again, speaks no lies, does not compel the soul of a man toward any manner of iniquity, uncleanness, injustice. The Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, would purify one's expression, his thoughts, and his ways. The Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, no lie in it, so it drives the soul not to be satisfied until, my brothers and sisters, all the Most High has decreed. Did you hear me? Until all the Most High has decreed has been brought to bear. If any man seeks anything less than his avocation to curse the holy name, to defend every manner of lies, leaves him completely unworthy for even being considered under the kingdom of Yah. Yohanan, John 17:9. Messiah said, I make no request for the worldly, but those who would receive and accept his word. And his word, my brothers and sisters, is the word untainted, undefiled. Why should the Most High even seek to deliver one who has already avowed himself to preserve corruption rather than seek what is a divine absolute? Our brothers and sisters, it's already said that he will confirm, he will seal only those who are willing to follow him wherever he leads. Well, I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, Messiah, the Savior, is not to be associated with so many of the false disciplines this world would uphold. The multitude of differences we see in this world that some choose not to see as differences. The contradictions that are in this world that many choose not to see as contradictions. Only curses against the conscience of man, against the hope of salvation, against the hope of agreement, and against the holy name. Well, taking all that into consideration, yes, tonight's show has a very interesting, some might consider a very interesting title. I have entitled it Armageddon, The Humbling of the Gods. Might sound like a very unusual title, but my brothers and sisters, I find it is certainly one that is indeed utmost, in this case, appropriate. For there are those, yes, my brothers and sisters, there are those who before men claim to be wise, claim to be those who pursue indeed what is righteousness. But the fact of the matter, my brothers and sisters, they are defenders of lies, illusions, all because they seek flattery. They seek to be exalted by seeking to appease the various designs of men. And if you're willing to buy it, they are willing to sell it. These are demons in disguise, my brothers and sisters. But I'm telling you now, the Most High will accept and confirm and seal with his name only those whose hearts are driven to be in all things true unto him. And whoever it is that is not willing to accept that as the truth has no hope. But I would tell you these things, my brothers and sisters, because I would not leave you lacking. Most High told me it's very important that I tell you concerning all these things. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, because it's time we discern the truth. It's time that we put every adverse voice to shame. In the splash or opening intro screen of tonight's show, I'd like to give attention first to a bit of verbiage that is written in Scripture. I ran into someone today, and he was steadily telling folks, and he's a blog talk radio host. I just got to tell you how it is, how I feel about the man. I consider him an absolute abject fool, and I hope he listens to understand that I have not bitten my tongue. I mean exactly what I say. I consider the man an abject, total fool. The Most High told me directly. If you can believe that a multitude of contradictions, meaning that these are partial and perverse and polluted standards, are a work of His pure and Holy Spirit, He told me directly. He said, if you can believe such a thing, you cannot be a disciple unto Him. The Apostle Shaul, I repeat again, said, if any man consider himself wise after the ways of this world, all the variant standards of this world, let him consider himself a fool, that he may become wise. Well, there are those, my brothers and sisters, who have totally, in so many ways, completely, I said completely, taken the scriptures, completely outside of context, and would compel men to believe that yet they have some course of what be called, what they would call, or would compel people to believe is wisdom. My brothers and sisters, you have no discretion. You have no wisdom. And I would say this, my brothers and sisters, whoever it is would begin to think otherwise. The Apostle Shaul said, if you're amongst a multitude of provocations, the Apostle Jacob, called James, said, if you're scattered among a multitude of nations, provocations among the nations, lacking wisdom, lacking discretion, said you must ask. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? You must ask, lest you be a lying voice against the Most High, double-minded, and not, my brothers and sisters, accounted worthy to receive anything from the Most High. Well, my brothers and sisters, taking that word that I just said to you in consideration, I like to give attention to a verse of scripture. And yes, I'm a little hot. And I tell you why, because like I said, I took time out earlier today to talk to someone. I could have been doing a lot of good for a lot of other people, but I sought to speak to someone who simply has no spirit of Yah in him. Claims that he is spiritual. I know that he is a man simply and only of the flesh. I pray that others will understand that too, that they won't be deceived by such a one. Well, let us, my brothers and sisters, give consideration to Psalms, I said to Psalms 82, and I'd like to begin by looking at the verse at 82 and 5. I said 82 and 5. And the verse relates something about the course of this present world age. It says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. Oh, but I'm sure that many call it light. My brothers and sisters, wherever men are subject to any institutionality of man, that does not allow you access to the fullness of the truth, that does not allow you the fullness of discretion. Men may call such disciplines light, supposed disciplines light. But the fact is, my brothers and sisters, in that none of them declare the fullness of what the Most High would have you to know. They are only variant shades of darkness with which the Most High cannot be satisfied. He said, they know not, neither will they understand. There are those who refuse to understand. They refuse to be taught. They refuse to see the error of their ways. They refuse to see that the standards they have upheld have been deceitful. But brothers and sisters such as this retain the obstacles against understanding. So they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. all the foundations of the earth are out of course. In other words, my brothers and sisters, what these scriptures are saying is that what men would use as a foundation for their reasoning, did you hear me? What men would use and call a foundation for their reasoning is completely out of course. It leads men astray. And he said, I've said ye are gods. Where does this verse come? Where else do we see this verse in scripture? He said, I've said ye are gods. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But we need to understand where the scripture came from. And all of you are children of the Most High. He said, you shall die like men, and you shall fall like one of the princes. How about fall because you followed after the princes? We'll get to that in just a moment. Fall like one of the princes. So it says, arise, O Yah. Judge all the earth. One shall judge the whole earth. And I said, my brothers and sisters, according to his standard and not any other. For thou shall inherit all nations. My brothers and sisters, the scripture speaks of one called Shiloh, unto whom all the nations shall gather. Unto him shall all the nations seek. Unto him it belongs. He is the lawgiver who declares peace. The one out of the tribe of Judah, my brothers and sisters, who supersedes the authority of every other human vessel. For he is chosen from the very beginning to be the door of light and light. Scripture spoke and said in 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 11, all the prophets spoke by the spirit of Messiah, Yeshua, who was in them. How then, my brothers and sisters, can others take such titles like Muhammad, Buddha, whoever, and place them above? My brothers and sisters, him who was declared from the beginning at the hand of the Most High to declare what is absolution is above all who came thereafter. And he will be counted, my brothers and sisters, above all those who have come, in terms of what the Most High has appointed him unto, an everlasting uprighteousness. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, who do not discern the scriptures, all the scriptures concerning this one. And the rulers of the earth, my brothers and sisters, have sought to keep men blind to this understanding. I said, have sought to keep men blind to this understanding, that they can continue to maintain what is totally a charade. But let us first, before I go any further, look at this scripture. I've heard many use this scripture, but they use it entirely out of context. Yeshua answered to 10:34, Yohanan. 10:34, Yohanan. Yeshua answered, says, it's not written in your law, I said, ye are gods. Many have taken that scripture, my brothers and sisters, and wanted to say that they were godly men. But that scripture says, I said, ye are gods, really means you should be Manu. You should be after his mind. You should all be true as children of the Most High. Because men have followed rather than follow after Yah, rather than following true after Messiah, men have followed after the misrepresentation of their princes, their rulers, their kings, their priests. Yah still has a plan to judge the earth. And through that one he has appointed, Isaiah 45, 1 through 6. How about 44, 20 through 45, 6? Most High said through him, as the servant of the Most High, even the servant, and for the cause of restoring Israel, Most High says, they shall know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none else but the one Most High Yah. And he did not declare another, my brothers and sisters, as his ultimate representative. That one, the scripture says, the Most High declared as his ally, who will destroy all confusion, wherever it is, wherever it is. The men sworn by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness. You need to read Isaiah 48, then read particularly that 14th to 16th verse. And understand the Most High says he has one who will say, listen to me, O ye isles, and hearken to me, O ye nations, because the Most High has called him to reveal what is truly before him honorable and glorious. To bring Israel back to him, even to be the light of his salvation to the ends of the earth, that all might agree as one. But did they teach you concerning this one, my brothers and sisters? Or did they tell you that he would not appear among men, even though the scripture says he would come, saying, from the body of my mother, has he made mention of my name? They've sought to throw you off with regard to the chronology of the scriptures in Matthew 24. They didn't tell you, my brothers and sisters, those scriptures says that there was a time immediately subsequent to that was great years of great murderous, great tribulation. First centuries of the early dispensation. Of the first century of the common era. My brothers and sisters, the scripture didn't say that that time would end with the coming of the Messiah, but rise of false prophets, for they slaughtered, yes, they murdered those who knew the truth. The scripture told them, don't expect him then. But my brothers and sisters, that does not mean that you shouldn't expect him at the end of the age. It's time we understand the real. So, why do I quote this scripture when Messiah said, it's not so written in your God, and your law said, ye are gods? Because, like I said, those verses come from this verse back in Psalm 82 and 6. Someone I spoke to earlier today wanted to say that all men are basically gods, as if all men are godly. Well, why don't they agree? They're all the same spirit. Why do they not agree? I say there's something to be considered in this, my brothers and sisters. Yes, indeed. Because if my brothers and sisters, all men, are, if you will, godly of the same spirit, why are there so many contentions among men? Why, my brothers and sisters, is there so much difference of opinion? I wrote in a bit of psaltery that was granted to me many years ago. All Yah's will in all was once our first and only love, yet precious truths neglected, let hate kill the dove. You said all of God's children, but have all yielded wholly to Yah's spirit? Every man's will is not the same who is willing to hear it. For with as many saviors and false gods as there are people, and a different subtitle under every steeple, been twisted and contorted to the right and to the left, as if the one true Yah has nothing sure, absolute, to say himself. So, my brothers and sisters, there are those who would prefer not to understand that to be alive to the truth of the Spirit is to seek an absolute and not be satisfied with anything less. Like a puzzle incomplete, the solution seems missing. But when Yah sent his answers, few are willing to listen. So some drive for a cause, a mission, or a vision of a heard third-hand word, or heard third-hand word someone said. But to strive in a lie is to live just to die, and a slaughter of men already dead. The truth mixed with lies is like food laced with poison. There's a spice added in to seduce that destroys men, who shout to defend the freedom of an incognizant choice, and hearing no man inspired who stands to speak Yah's voice. So pride blinds and divides us under pompous imaginations, claiming atonements in no one humble king, as the little bits of what men fall flatter to call knowledge. It's just more dangerously ensnaring a thing. Seeking partial definitions, we negate our existence as man's purpose to his makers, but a vague reminiscence. Forgetting all stand or fall before one higher conscience. Thus a hatred of truth, purged, restored, and whole, has robbed man his identity and murdered his soul. A world has mocked absolution, having revered no Yah, and for lacking one love must be disciplined, blessed, and smitten with a rod. It's all written down, can be read in the book. Can this be the reason most have been dread to look? Incised by indecision, already damned to blind divisions, our only hope for solving unison is the whole holy vision. Till we all are one, we are slaves, not saved. Till we in Yah are one. Our home is a grave. Hard words, yes, I know. But let me clarify some things. Why have I chosen to examine these verses whereby some use the scripture said the men are automatically godly? Those verses, where they came from, exposed that idea, because the Most High said because man chose to turn away from the Most High and turned out of course, he would die like men and fall like one of the princes, because they follow the princes of the world. The father of the princes of the world are not Yah. In fact, they refuse to follow him who shall judge and inherit all the nations. Well, I heard this same one completely abuse, seeking to flatter the hearts of men. Completely abuse this scripture, which is found at the 17th chapter. I need to speak about this swiftly. The 17th chapter of Luke, and he says, when this is speaking of Messiah, when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom, they put down kingdom in your Bible, kingdom of Yahweh should come, he answered and said, they put this in way this way in your King James Version. The kingdom of Yah cometh not with observation. There's much to be understood concerning this, to put it all in perspective. The word kingdom here could just as easily have been translated king or prince. I pray you will understand what I just said to you. It could have been just as easily translated king or prince. He said, neither will they say, lo, he is here, lo, he is there, when he appears. In other words, most will not recognize that it is he at all. For he says, behold, what is properly to be interpreted, behold, the king, even the prince of the kingdom, emissary from on high, is among you. Notice he just said, that he does not come either with observation. They will not be able to say or see so quickly that he is here or there. Zephaniah 2:15 says he will every morning bring justice to light in the midst of a city, but the wicked know no shame. Well, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures talk about that city in Isaiah 19:18-25. It talks about that city in Isaiah 24:16-20. Let's go back a little bit. Isaiah 24:10-16. There's verses thereafter that talk about the judgment of the rulers and the fall of the systems of man. It goes on, my brothers and sisters, that in 25:1-3, that he'll make that city a heap, a plan he formed long ago, bring it to bear with perfect faithfulness. Who told you concerning these things? We need to get to this verse in Isaiah 41 that speaks about this and how it should have been interpreted. He told him there would come a time when you look for desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and will not see it. Meaning the men will be hearkening to the voice of false prophets. And he says they would so say to you, see here, see there. Do not go after them. He's talking about the false prophets. Don't follow after them. The verse goes on. For as the lightning shines out of the one part of heaven and shines the other part of heaven, the book of Matthew says it's at the It really means as the sun shines out of the east, even unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Remember I told you the scripture says they shall know from the rising sun and from the west there's none else but Yah. I've talked about it before. That scripture there in reminiscence of Isaiah 24:10-16 says in the last days Messiah will come out of the west formerly he came out of the east. Isaiah 59 says it again. 59:19-20 says he comes out of the west. Hosea, my brothers and sisters, in the 11th chapter, look around that 10th verse or so. He says he'll roar like a lion, and his son shall come trembling from the west. How many understand, my brothers and sisters? He said from that place in the west, that city in the west, he would bring his people back home. Why didn't they teach this to you, my brothers and sisters? Why have they held back this knowledge? Scripture says none else but the Most High is the one who speaks it. No, only he, of all those disciplines that men have declared, speaks it. He said, but first Messiah must suffer many things to be rejected. Oh, my brothers and sisters, according to Zephaniah, in the 3rd chapter, according to Isaiah 28, Messiah would also suffer many things in this latter generation. Isaiah 50 says he would ask, why when I came was there no man, when I spoke was there none to answer. But this is the one, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has taught. Morning by morning, the Most High caused his ears to hear the teaching, that he should not turn back the rebellious way. He says, and it, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Some scriptures say, such as it was in the days of Lot and Noah. Some texts actually read that way. So it will be in the days of the Son of Man. Notice that Noah was an emissary of the kingdom of Yah. Did men recognize him as that emissary, the representative of the kingdom, that they might not reap destruction? No, they didn't, my brothers and sisters. He said they ate and drank, they married wives, they were giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Noah warned the people. Did they recognize him as warning, or one to warn them before the imminent destruction? Did he warn him as one who taught the way of repentance? Likewise, it says also, it was the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from on high and destroyed them all. For thus, he said, it would be in the day when the Son of Man revealed. My brothers and sisters say, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. In other words, do not desire the ways of that which is to be destroyed. Luke 17:33. Whoever seeks to save his life shall lose it. Whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. In other words, whoever seeks to preserve those things of this world that must now be relinquished, which must now be no more. Whoever seeks to preserve these things, in Numbers 24, it says, whoever seeks to preserve the ways of the city, he will destroy. There must come an end to the lies, my brothers and sisters, and absolution must reign. See, and I tell you, in that night, there should be two in one bed. They put in some of your checks, men. It's not what it means. The word men was put there by them. It's just simply there'll be two in the bed, and one will be taken, the other will be left. It means, my brothers and sisters, some will know to follow what is true, and some not. Two will be grinding together, one should be taken, the other left. We're talking about out in the fields grinding in the fields. Say, two will be in the field, and that's the very next verse. One will be taken, the other left. One will. Know when it's time to go, and others will not. And they answered and said to him, they said, where, Lord? The correct translation of this and some of the texts from the Dead Sea Scrolls have made this correction. He said, wherever the carcass of the body is, same thing you find in Matthew 24. It says, there will the vultures be gathered together. Why? What do vultures come down upon but dead bodies? Talking about destruction that is to come. It says, just like it was in the days of Lot and Noah. Think about it. If the people knew that this was one who was to warn them that they must turn toward righteousness, would they have not heard that they might avoid the coming destruction? The very next verses, my brothers and sisters, go on and talk about a city of injustice. It's reminiscent of all that I've told you, my brothers and sisters. Now, concerning these scriptures where it says that when Messiah appears, because many thought that they were wise, they would not listen. That's what it says in Isaiah 50. Well, something that must be considered concerning this, my brothers and sisters, is verses. And knowing my time is short here tonight, I need to go straight on to the 41st chapter of Isaiah and make some things quite plain. Let's understand what this Armageddon-like experience is truly all about. Remember, I've told you before, so many times in the show, Isaiah 44, 20 through 45, 6, talks about one called the Kurdi, the one unto whom and for whom the kingdom that became the Medo-Persian Empire that became called by many there Kurdistan. That kingdom, put in your King James Version, Cyrus. No, my brothers and sisters, this is the Kurdi. You know, I want to know more about what he comes to do. Why Messiah said, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star, the king of the east. You need to check out my website, hiddengospel.com. Article there called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. It explains, my brothers and sisters, why and how the rulers have taken from you even the titles that were used of old, that men might discern the appearing of Messiah and what he comes to do. I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a secret to be understood in the midst of these verses I'm going to now. They mistranslated something for you. You should be asking why. In Isaiah 41st chapter, I said in Isaiah, in the 41st chapter, it reads in this wise. And there's a need to understand it all in its utmost proper context. Messiah is calling out to the rulers and those who follow. Bring near your strongest arguments. In other words, if you can show me that you are godly men, show me that you have testified concerning the truth. Show that you function after the spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it, that brings all things to remembrance, that it might be discerned that you have discerned, my brothers and sisters, what the Most High declared from the beginning. Think about it. The Holy Spirit teach all things, brings all things to remembrance. It's the word from the beginning, the Spirit, the very promise of the Most High from the beginning. And those, my brothers and sisters, who know Yah must realize that either man has the capacity to discern foundation and all that is to be expected, or else his testimony has been a lie. Either man seeks the whole truth, not so easily satisfied with less, or it is evidence, my brothers and sisters, that he's fallen short of the gift of the Spirit, for the Spirit would have compelled him to see so much more than what is common to men. One scripture speaks of Messiah, the Anointed One, in this wise. He comes like a rushing stream which the Spirit of the Most High drives. Isaiah 41:21, Messiah is crying out to the rulers and those who follow him, bring near your strongest arguments. Show that you are wise. Show that you are godly. Show that you are function at all by my spirit, the King of Jacob says. Let them bring forth, if they are so wise, and if they've been true to me, let them bring forth and declare what is going to take place. Most High is the first and the last, the beginning and end. He is Rishon Acharon. He is all that he is. He is when and where he is. Those who are after his spirit, my brothers and sisters, he reveals proper foundation, that they might discern, my brothers and sisters, in a stable manner, that they might declare what is to come, that they might be preservers of the truth as vessels of the way of life. My brothers and sisters, for without the knowledge of what is ancient expectation, man is also fallen from faith. So he declares to men, he declares to their rulers, show us and declare to us what is going to take place. And as for the former things he declared, declare what they were, that we may consider them and know their outcome. What is to be? What is the eventuality? Remember the scripture says in Isaiah 44, he would make and prove the counsel of the rulers. He would prove it all foolish because Yah shall bring to bear what he has declared even for the whole world has been a liar, deceived. He tells them to announce to us what is coming. Show that your testimony has been true to what is coming. Declare the things that are going to come afterward, that we may know that you are gods, that we may know that you are godly men, that we may know that you function after his spirit. Indeed, show or do good or evil. He's made anxiously. Most High is about to bring to bear all that he said he would, and all the wrath he said he would bring upon mankind, that man might be humbled and brought to the knowledge of the truth. All that he said he must do, my brothers and sisters, that the eventuality be that he removes every obstacle and his people have peace. That we may know that you are God, indeed do good or evil, and we may anxiously look about us and fear, revere together. Behold, you have no account. Your work, your counsel, your testimony has amounted to nothing but filthy men's vanities, indiscriminate men's vanities. The works of those, my brothers and sisters, who are the guardians of lies, we have no intention that you ever discern the truth. So your counsel, your testimony, how you've administered the words amounts to nothing but vanity, the misconceits and presumptuousnesses of men without the guidance of Yah. And whoever would choose such as this, they too are aberrant, an abomination, not true to divine nature, ungodly men. But the Most High says, I have aroused, I have raised up. They put down the word in your text, north. For the word there, my brothers and sisters, relates this is one who is hid. The word is safon. And it means, my brothers and sisters, in actuality, the word there relates to one who is hid. Did the Messiah say, the Son of Man comes not by observation, not by easy observation, that men will miss him, just like the scripture said in Zephaniah 3, just like it said in Isaiah 28, that he's pleading that men would hear his words, just like he said in Isaiah 50 when he says, why when I came was there no man, and when I spoke was there none to answer? Just like it said in Hosea 8, it says, I've written to them many great things out of my law. But my words they considered a strange thing because they were amongst the people speaking a strange language, if you will, my brothers and sisters. Strange doctrine. Misled after alternate expectations. Do you think the rulers wanted to tell you that when Messiah appears, Most High said he'd make a full end of all nations wherever Israel has been scattered? Because he wants to drive his people back to himself, that he might correct them justly without worldly distraction. He said he'd make a full end of all nations wherever Israel has been scattered. Blessed are they who will understand the reality, my brothers and sisters, for those who would hide it from you. My brothers and sisters, they are the wickedest of all men. Whoever will not see these things, my brothers and sisters, that is indeed a false prophet, one who teaches a false word, a standard, my brothers and sisters, with which the Most High cannot, I said, with which the Most High cannot be pleased. He said, if you were godly men, these things you would speak, but my brothers and sisters, the scripture said, prophesy in advance, they would not. He said, I've raised up one from the north. The word for north, again, is safon. It means one who was hidden. One who, hear my brothers and sisters. Some texts relate it another way when they translate this word safon. They relate it comes from a word that relates the same thing as concealed. Safon. Hidden. One who comes in suddenly, even if you want to put it that way, stealthily, unexpectedly. One that you should be watching for because he does not appear in a manner that your leaders would ever tell you. So the scriptures say, I've stirred up one, raised up one from the north. They put it that way you put in your King James Version. But it merely means, my brothers, the one who comes suddenly, who is hid. Isaiah 49 calls him also the concealed one, saying, the shadow of his hand is he hidden me. Isaiah 45 says, when he appears to the rulers and people of the earth, will say, surely thou, one who is here, hidest thyself, the Holy One and the Savior, but surely Yah is with you. How many of my brothers and sisters are willing to deal with Isaiah 45:15, I believe that's what it is, has to say concerning the Savior? It means that he speaks after conscience. Yes, my brother says he speaks after a level of conscience that most are not prepared at all to discern. Hear me and discern what these scriptures actually do have to tell us. He says, my brothers and sisters, he should come as one who comes suddenly, hid, unexpectedly. And behold, he should come like the sudden rising of the sun. Yes, like the sudden rising of the sun. He should come, my brothers and sisters. Yes. But who told you? And he will call upon his name in righteousness. He comes upon the rulers and all their precepts as upon martyrs, the pot of red clay. He exposes them all. All their precepts is foolish. Say, who has declared this from the beginning that we might know? Or who from former times that we may say that he is right and that this is the righteous one? Say, surely there was no one. How about no one else who declared? Surely there was no one else. None of the disciples there had spoke of this who proclaimed. Surely there was no one else. And no one who understood or who heard or who preached these words. In the book of Romans, Messiah is spoken of, and his gospel is spoken of. It says, not all have heard the preaching of the gospel. So faith has to come by hearing a word from Yah. Blessed are they who will hearken when the Most High tells them that they must prepare for a divine, yes, indeed, must prepare for a divine absolute. For only those, my brothers and sisters, who are humble to know that there's a greater truth that they must seek beyond what is common. I know there are those who say that they are wise men. They say that they have intelligence. Some folks holler about it right quick. I'm a grown man. Well, let me tell you something. That won't mean a dadgum thing for the Most High. Whoever will not come to the Most High as a little child to be taught as he needs be. My brothers and sisters will have no favor from him. No one who seeks to exalt himself will have favor from him. Most High said Messiah would come and said he is the door. And no man comes to the Father but by him. But there are a lot of folks who sit back and say they can come to him, to the Most High, after their own volition, after their own will. We've just gone through a whole lot of scripture that talked about that in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, around the 12th to the 21st verse. It says, blessed are they who would keep his commandments. I didn't say according to anybody else's instruction. Keep his commandments, they may have a right to the tree of life. How about they have a right to the way of truth? He said, whoever loves to tell a lie will be kept outside the city. Blessed are they who do his commandments, seek the truth, that they might enter into the city. See, if you add or take away anything, you only add damnation to your soul. And you're denied the blessings that are contained in the book. So it says, whoever will, let him come. That means you have to accept an absolute. Whoever will and is ready to accept an absolute, let him come and be drinking the living waters freely. That means the way and the knowledge of the way of life. Listen to this scripture, my brothers and sisters, and understand what the scripture says must occur. It says, this one will come suddenly. He come upon the rulers, upon martyrs, as a pot of treads clay. He exposes all the unrighteousness of the rulers. And it says, my brothers and sisters, that what the true meaning of all these things is, even what we're going to find in the book of Revelation 16:12-21, that the rulers never told you what that's really about. It's about, my brothers and sisters, the total exposure as foolish those who men have esteemed, those who the rulers have established and esteemed themselves as if they were godly men. But they were the sons of a devil, and that they never taught toward what is absolute. And they continually, yes, my brothers and sisters, have continually only worked to the deception of mankind. Scripture says when this one comes, the reason why he comes, because the chief concern of Zion, people haven't known him. He said, when I look to Zion, he says, at first, what it says, I declared to Zion one time, he gave to Jerusalem those who preach good tidings, who preach the whole word. He said, now when I look, there's no one declares all these things. No counsel who, when I ask, can give me what is truly an answer acceptable, declaring what was declared of old, what is to come. No, they're all delusion. Their works are nothing but images. An empty wind, vanity. So here is my servant. Behold, my servant, whom my soul delights. See, I put my spirit to teach all things, brings all things to remembrance. Scripture says, behold my servant, this one is the elect one in whom my soul delights. This is the one that he has called. That because men's conscience have been blinded by their rulers. This is the one, my brothers and sisters, that all should look to. Because all else is just the faulty misimaginings of men. See, I put my spirit upon him, that men might again know the way. The Most High says he will bring him forth, for he shall bring what is right discretion to all the nations. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he said what is true justice in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law, his governorship, his sovereignty. He, unlike others, is not one that when one begins to awaken, he is not one, my brothers and sisters, who will seek to break that man's progress. See, a bruised reed he shall not break. A smoking flax he shall not extinguish. In other words, when there's a spark of life, he not seek to extinguish it, as have the wicked. But he shall bring forth indeed what is justice unto a fullness of the truth. Well, my brothers and sisters, we have examined much scripture here that relates the truth of how these scriptures should be looked at. Again, the book of Luke, when it says the kingdom of God, they put down there in your translation, the kingdom of God is within you. It should have been the prince is among you, and you don't see him. That's what he told. Messiah told the leaders of his time. Told him it'd be the same thing in the latter day, just like it was in the days of Lot and Noah, before coming to the destruction of that city. Again, if the people knew this was truly an emissary from the Most High, and that his word was to be heard, not ignored, would the destruction of the city still yet have to come? My brothers and sisters, the Most High, I asked one time the Most High, why do the people find it so hard to listen to the truth? He said they haven't been humbled enough yet. They haven't discerned, my brothers and sisters, that they must be humbled to discern the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve Yah and those who serve him not. They haven't discerned that not knowing foundation nor eventuality, it means that everything that they have thought and conceived to be reliable has been only instability. Well, knowing this all to be true, I said knowing this all to be true, remember, Isaiah 25 talks about the destruction of a city. And afterwards the people shall say in the appearance of the righteous one, behold, this is our God, the righteous one for whom we have waited. We will rejoice and be glad in his salvation. This is the one who, my brothers and sisters, you should have been waiting for, who exposes all the unrighteousness of all the rulers and all the false disciplines of this earth. Isaiah 41 says he exposes all the kings. How about all the various, principalities and powers and their various ungodly elementally false precepts and principles. One scripture says he exposes all the kings. Isaiah 41 speaks of it. Malachi says he exposes all the priests for all their ungodliness and their partiality, not laying truly what is the law or common expectation in the minds of every heart. So if you destroy them out of the temple, there no longer be preachers therein, that men might discern what indeed was declared as righteousness of old as in former years. The rulers, my brothers and sisters, deny you this knowledge. It is because, my brothers and sisters, not because they sought what is truly blessed before the Most High, nor to please him. Because they were more concerned with their personal prestige from men. Did you hear me? More concerned with personal prestige from men. More concerned about their pulpits and thrones. Even, my brothers and sisters, than the salvation of a human soul. Treacherous men, my brothers and sisters, not to be trusted. They claim to be wise. But my brother says they hide the truth from you and make it difficult for you to discern just how foolish they have been and how much they're only concerned with leaving people foolish that they might leave them to be exploited. wisdom of old, my brothers and sisters, was considered knowledge that you might not be exploited by those politicians who, in their lack of absolution, can only exploit the people and lie. How many are ready to really understand this? Because he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Talk again about that city, my brothers and sisters. And he says, he spake this parable concerning what would happen when he will avenge his own. He said, he spake this parable on those who trusted themselves that they were righteous. I'm talking about Luke 18 and 9. Trusted that they were godly and despised others. In other words, they considered themselves wise and didn't seek for what the Most High would be pleased with. They called themselves godly in all their pollutions and exalted themselves as if they had the right to denigrate others rather than seek what is for the good of all. With such as this, my brothers and sisters, the Most High cannot be pleased. So if you desire the greatest spiritual gifts, desire first that you might edify for the good of all. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, who aren't concerned about that. In fact, they would deceive you to think that a multitude of contradictions and lies are good, so that they do not offend men while they continually offend the Most High. I'd like to take you now to Revelation, keeping in mind the scenario of which I have just spoken. Revelation, 16th chapter. It's in Revelation, the 16th chapter. I'd like to start at the 12th verse. It said, the sixth angel poured his vial upon the great river Euphrates. Isaiah 44 speaks of Messiah, the Curdy in the latter days. Isaiah 44:20 through 45:6 talks about the drying of the rivers before him. In other words, exposing all the unrighteousness of all the rulers. Same thing as in the first five verses of Isaiah 19. It says he dries up the river of Egypt. It means the same thing. He sets men free from the mindscape of the rulers by declaring exceeding testimony from on high. That's how it should have been translated. They chose not to throw you off. They say he comes upon swift clouds. But Malachi says he comes with a swift testimony, a swift witness. A testimony that will suddenly sweep the globe, exposing a whole world, my brothers and sisters, as having not been true. The Messiah, or the Most High as he is. Sixth vial, angel poured his vial upon the great river Euphrates. The rivers of the nations, my brothers and sisters, have oftentimes been considered the borders. But the Most High will prove that subjection to none of these barriers established by men has been anything else but a cage. None of these fallen standards after the mindscapes of men have been anything else but to men's damnation. Most High has already said he's going to make a full end of all these divisions, that he might establish one kingdom in righteousness. He said he would even dissolve all the kingdoms of the earth. He would establish a kingdom that shall endure forever. Daniel 2:44. Says the sixth angel poured his vial upon the great river Euphrates. The water dried up. There's the way of the king. I didn't say kings with an S. Where the king of the east might be prepared. Who is that righteous one likened to the rising sun, the sun that rises in the east? That's the same scripture in Isaiah 41. And discern who Messiah said he is. He's that same one who will rebuke and reprove all the kings. And the king shall be as dust to his sword and driven stubble to his bowl. He shall expose them all as unrighteousness. And he says, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. That old serpent is called the devil. Now the mouth of the beast, that is international government, my brothers and sisters, the statehoods of this world. Now the mouth of the false prophets, the false churches, that can never teach you what is necessary to see beyond the unrighteousness of this world. Never teach you beyond this harlot the scripture speaks of, that's sold out for money. King's whoredom, brothers and sisters, clothed in purple, royalty, scarlet, whoredom, that only seeks to preserve the unrighteousness of the rulers. It's spoken of in Revelation 18. Understand it's talking about your churches, my brothers and sisters, who will never tell you the whole truth like the book said they wouldn't. But they are the spirits of devils working miracles to go forth to the kings of the earth to gather the whole world to gather to them to that battle, the great day of Yah Almighty. Did you hear me, brothers and sisters? It says the spirits of devils gather these kings. So you need to ask the question, who do they go to? One of the rewards of the imps, my brothers and sisters, is they inhabit the bodies of those who have influence to maintain corrupt rule over men. You need to wake up and understand the reality. So it says, behold, I come as a thief. Second Kepha, Second Peter, third chapter, speaks of Messiah coming suddenly as a thief, coming unexpectedly upon those who don't understand the prophets. Messiah said, behold, I come as a thief. Revelation 16 and 12. 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter, speaks actually what they want to call rapture doctrine. You can look at an article on my website called Rapture Debunked. It explains how that what they call rapture doctrine is not called, is not by any man being swept up into the sky. What do you think is more important, the raising of man's conscience or raising of his physical body? My brother says, those scriptures are not talking about people flying up to the sky. It's talking about they're being raised in consciousness under the will of one, so thereafter ever to be, let's just say, in harmony with the Most High, in covenant with Him. They actually want to tell you that people indiscriminate are going to suddenly be found worthy to go up into the heaven with all their various ideologies, as if there's no need for an absolution. It's a damn lie. I'm just going to tell you exactly what it is. It's destroyed many souls, because many have lived and died and never seen beyond that illusion. You need to look at that website of mine, hiddengospel.com, article called Rapture Debunked, Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. You need to look at that Secret City Prophecy and understand what the scriptures are really talking about here. Because I would tell you now, when the scriptures talk about that city of destruction is mentioned in Isaiah 19, it says they cry to the Most High because of their oppressors. People realize that the multitude of their rulers have only been a curse to them all. He said, cried to the Most High because of the oppressors. He would send them a savior and a judge who should deliver them. They cried on humility, my brothers and sisters. They returned back to Him, recognizing that the Most High cannot be pleased with all this misrepresentation. He said, then my people will humble themselves and seek His face. He said, we'll hear from on high, and He will heal the land. My brothers and sisters, the scriptures they talk about in Isaiah 24, 10 through 16, about Messiah rebuking all the rulers, that men finally discern their way. The scripture says they see beyond the veil of the covering that's over all the nations, that men have victory over all the lies of this world. It's the same scenario. So where's that Armageddon? You see, gathered them together in a place which in the Hebrew tongue is called Armageddon, hills of Megiddo. How many understand that in Judges 4, they said that the hills of Megiddo is Harosheth of the Gentiles, the place from which there should come the end, if you will, of the Gentile reign. Like the scripture says, blindness in part befalls Israel, and blindness to the ways of the nations, so the time of the Gentiles comes to an end. The times of all these nations and their confusion comes to an end. At Harosheth of the Gentiles, the scripture calls it the city called Haros in Isaiah 19:18-25. Around 19:20 is the particular verse I'm talking about. In the 16th chapter of Isaiah, 48th chapter of Jeremiah, calls it Kir Haris, the city of Haris. The city of Moab, it is called in text. You need to read between the 15th and 16th chapters of Isaiah. You see, they shall flee to Zoar. Where was the city, my brothers and sisters, that Noah fled to? Excuse me, Lot fled to, that he might be preserved in the time of destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Much to be understood, my brothers and sisters. And excuse me, because, well, tonight I'm just looking at a lot of these things. Trying to read ahead of myself a little bit to prepare you for what else needs to be understood. Well, considering these things, my brothers and sisters, I want you to understand. He gathers them together in a place where the Hebrew tongue is called Armageddon, the hills of Megiddo. Harosheth or Haris or destruction of the Gentiles, same word. Scripture calls that city, my brothers and sisters, a distant Bethlehem. You need to consider what that means. Don't know what I'm talking about, check out my website. Say that city is to the west. Article called Secret City Prophecies. You need to understand. It says the city that ships come to. It's the most diverse city in the world. It's an economic hub, my brothers and sisters. You need to discern what that's all about. Revelation 16:12 says, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne and saying, it is done. And the same thing that's written over in Isaiah, well, excuse me. I could talk about Isaiah 29th chapter that exposes all the rulers. But let's talk about Revelation 6:12. It talks about there's a great earthquake. And it says all the rulers will be running for cover. There were voices and thunders and lightning, and a great earthquake such as not since men were upon the earth, and so mighty an earthquake and so great. Amos, my brothers and sisters, speaks much the same. Compared in Amos 3rd chapter to Revelation 10, it talks about the voice of the seven thunders. I repeat, it talks about the voice of the seven thunders. Saying seven things, talking about the destruction of a city. Saying also the Most High does nothing unless he reveals it first to his servants, the prophets. There's a serious need to compare Revelation 10th chapter, Amos 3rd chapter, Hosea 11th chapter, and discern what these scriptures are talking about, because they do converge, all relating about this very event that we're talking about here now. The voices and thunders and lightnings and a great earthquake. Same thing said in Revelation 6. Kings then running for cover. Hides from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne. Same thing said in Revelation 6. Talking about the angel from the rising sun, the king of the east, he had the seal. He only confirmed, my brothers and sisters, those who are true to the fullness of a word. The many who say they agree with me. I will tell you now, my brothers and sisters, when it comes right down to it, Most High is going to put it this way. To know what is said and not know why it is said, to miss the point. Many say they agree and they think they do. I will tell you again, my brothers and sisters, until a man is able to prove that he knows why the Most High has spoken what he has said and not just what he has said. Man is not yet prepared to show that he's ready to be confirmed in agreement. Let it be understood, because many have taken the words completely out of context. And believe me, every man's word will be tried to find out if he is in all things true. Because many have spoken, my brothers and sisters, quoting all scripture, but only after the feeble precepts and doctrines of men. And none of that before the Most High is acceptable. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, who would exalt such frail understanding and call themselves wise, when the truth of the matter, lacking vision, they are far from it. Revelation 16:19, the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Same thing said in Isaiah 25:1-3, in the appearing of Messiah. Revelation 26, and 7, some text says, calls him the upright one. Same word for upright is just. Same word for righteous one. Same one spoken of in Isaiah 41, who exposes all the rulers. For as long as men believe the lies of the rulers, my brothers and sisters, they are all in bondage. Again, this one reveals the light, my brothers and sisters, shows everything else that men have thought they knew to only be a variation of the darkness. Book of Jacob, I've talked about this again and again, they call it James. Talk about this one comes for the express purpose that the double-minded be put to shame. Break the grass withers, the flower fades. That's what he talks about, the conscience of man, of how it's been. Concerning how it's been. Fleshly-mindedness, all presumptuous of the flesh, be exposed when the wind of the Spirit of the Most High, the rebuke of the Most High blows upon it. Read Isaiah 40 and understand what those scriptures are talking about. For the gift of Yah is an invariant word. The word of Yah, my brothers and sisters, is not according to the varying interpretations of men. Scripture says that men cannot declare what was declared of old, and in all things in its proper context unto their eventuality. Still yet an abomination. still aberrant, still not true to his spirit. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, that rather than allow themselves to be disciplined to discern what is the actuality, they prefer to call themselves wise. And in so doing, they only curse the holy name and leave them, render themselves unteachable. So the double-minded man, let him not think he receives anything from the Most High. Most High declares an absolute. Either man will come to that absolute or he lies. Either man seeks the whole truth and all things in right context or he lies. And the Most High will have no deceivers to enter into his kingdom. In fact, they never know the way of his kingdom. Messiah must come, my brothers and sisters, to prove the difference. The men no longer follow the deceiver. The great city was divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fell. And Babylon, great Babylon, came in remembrance before Yah. Oh, to render it is due punishment. Given her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Isaiah 48 talks about that one who calls the chosen ally. Some texts actually read it in the translation as the one called the Kurdi, calls him a chosen ally. Yeah. Well, my brother and sister said he would do what the Most High has desired against Babylon, to destroy the confusion, and indeed a revolution against confusion must come. When Babylon came in remembrance for Yah to give a cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, and every island fled away and the mountains were not found, meaning all the foundations of all the nations were put to naught. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. And there fell a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, like 100 pounds. And men blasphemed, cursed, denigrated the Most High. In other words, some were arguing against him for allowing such a thing to be. But my brothers and sisters, the Most High already said he's going to vanquish the word of lies. Then blasphemed the Most High. How about they also cursed their kings for having been so treacherous? You need to read that also in Isaiah, in the 8th and 9th chapters. Because the plague of the hail and the plague thereof was exceedingly great. Read Isaiah 29 and understand what it's talking about when it says, it'd be like a hungry man who dreams that he is eating, dreams that he is drinking. When he wakes, he finds he's hungry and famished. Find out he knew nothing. Well, my brothers and sisters, for those who read it understand it, again, there are those who would call themselves godly, who call themselves righteous. Scripture says, why did you not know these things? It's all written down. You read in the book. Can this be the reason most have dread to look? Scripture says those who are not ready to accept the Most High declares an absolute that he knows himself just that well. And he desires no misrepresentation. That's what devils do. Those who are not ready to accept that as truth, my brothers and sisters, have no hope unto the kingdom of Yah. There's a reason why Messiah said, be watchful and preparing for the day of the Son of Man. It's because your rulers, my brothers and sisters, will not be the one to warn you rightly. Or they can prepare you at all for what is to come. They wouldn't even tell you the scenario that will expose them all. They didn't see it to their advantage. Do they care then about telling you the truth? No, my brothers and sisters. Their avocation has simply been to preserve the lies that preserve their esteem before men. I showed you three places in Scripture. That Messiah was called, in fact, the Hidden One. If men had known it was he, would the city still have to be destroyed? If men hearkened, as they should have hearkened to Noah, if men were hearkened to him, would it be like another flood, great rebuke and destruction this time? Would the city be destroyed, my brothers and sisters, with a great earthquake? If men had listened? Would the scripture say in Zephaniah, the wicked know no shame when he seeks to reprove them? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Even the book of Enoch, my brothers and sisters, called Messiah the concealed one. Did you hear me? What is it? 48. Look it up for yourself. 48, I say around 48:4 of the book of Enoch. Need to examine some texts, number the verses differently. He calls them the concealed one, the one whom those who function after the conscience of men do not discern. Isaiah, in the 8th chapter, 16th to 20th verse. The verses there, my brothers and sisters, speak of one who speaks with the consummate knowledge of all the prophets. See, if men were not speaking according to his word, there's no light in them. Ungodly men, not functioning fully after the Spirit. Light does not deny light, truth does not deny truth. Scripture says all the prophets spoke with the Spirit of Messiah that was in them. Not everything a prophet says is contained in his own book. Messiah will come speaking concerning all the Most High spoken by the prophets since the world began. That means he has consummate knowledge of what the Most High has decreed. And he says, whoever will not hearken then, my brothers and sisters, who will not hear and understand concerning the fullness of his word. Scripture says they'd be cut off, even destroyed from among the people. Many of us say Shabbat Shalom, my brothers and sisters, every week. Preparation for Shabbat, even. Shabbat Shalom, my brothers and sisters, is an admonition, a petition. That men seek all the pure, perfect, and complete will of Yah, that there be only peace. Purity and completion offers one choice. Shabbat, root word, relates again to completion. 7. Shabbat, sabbatical. The B and the V, the Bet and the Vet. Sabbath. 7th. Oh, yes. It's time to understand the real, my brothers and sisters. We are approaching in this 7th month of 2014, in the days of these high holy days, these days of awe, moving into these, presently in the days of awe, moving toward the latter high holy days of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, Sukkah, Feast of Tabernacles. Days of all, my brothers and sisters, which we seek beyond ourselves, humbling ourselves beyond ourselves. To seek the truth, my brothers and sisters, that has not been told. And whoever will not do this, my brothers and sisters, will not be prepared. The day will come upon them suddenly, unexpectedly. Scripture says there's going to be great distress among the nations, according to the book of Luke. The men will find that they didn't know what was foretold of old. So there'd be great distress upon the nation when men discern what is to come upon earth. Scripture says it'd be like men realize that there's been a snare upon all the nations. Same thing with my brothers and sisters written in Isaiah 24. It's also written in Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu 48. But the fall of this Moabitish system that has sought to establish all manner of obstacles, false, partial doctrines, polluted doctrines against men discerning the way of peace and to the inheritance of the promised land. For the rulers of the earth, my brothers and sisters, sought to subdivide this world, forgetting that the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof. They maintained only confusion. Well, my brothers and sisters, a revelation against confusion must come. And blessed are they who will understand this.
60 seconds.
Then we got about a minute left. I may try to say a little bit after the time is up. If you want to hear, maybe you might have to check out the archives. I might try to relate a few things. I know there's someone here that wants to ask a few questions. Asked many times that he assured that he has organized his questions well. There might be a beneficence to a listening audience. But until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, and like I said again, whatever is said hereafter might be found in the archives. I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. Unto his might, unto his honor, and his sovereign praise always for his mercy. For he has promised that he will still yet speak to his people, though they have been so hard of heart, unwilling to discern what the Most High has declared from the beginning. is eternal, but he promised that he would still seek to, and on these latter days, expose all unrighteousness, that some might return to the truth. Unto his might, honor, and praise always. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again for listening.